tried to throw my microphone right before we started. Hey, what's up, everybody?
Hello, hello. Hey, before we get to intros,
yeah, it's my fault.
Hudson Homer's logo would look great on a hat, kind of like the Monarchist hats. But that Hudson Homer's logo with the baseball, I'm going to put in an order right now for let's figure out a way to produce those. All right. Maybe we sell them for some rep share money on top of everything else. Like,
well, the world is about to be our oyster again. If you notice from the emails that went out, the Pride of ODU NIL Collective is merging into ODAF to be rep share. We're still going to be very heavily involved, still have all of our normal content and that fun stuff, but we will have the ability to make our own merch again. And believe me, I want this one right here. Mm. The navy brim, the Hudson blue.
That's the OG right there.
Yes. Yeah, with the patch on it.
Homer's logo on one of these.
I agree. I think we're just going to go nuts with merch in spring. And I'll just be out there with a little cart getting run off by someone from ODU security and told to stop hawking hats and shirts.
Well, you're going to have that whole back parking lot behind left field right there. Just post up out there and sell it. You know?
If you want to shirt, meet me under the scoreboard behind the fence. I got you.
That's right.
Oh, well, welcome, fans, to the Hudson Homers podcast. I think this might be the last one of 2025. I think we're going to get you one early in January as we get closer and closer to that first pitch of the first game with Quinnipiac. But, CB, how you been, man?
Hey, man, I'm great. Got to got to watch the two of the three games of the Fall World Series, and they were really good competitive games. So that was fun to see. And I got to watch the longest camp that the ODU has ever had last Saturday. Yeah. Yeah.
In the world.
Yes, longest camp in the history of baseball camps.
We set many records that day.
Yeah.
Some say it's still going.
It was a beautiful day. Thank God.
I got
home and laid on the couch and I was like, what if it was terrible weather today?
Would
that have been
cold?
It was perfect weather. Yeah,
it was like 70. It was perfect. Yeah. Yeah,
couldn't have been.
You guys had some really good. The Fall World Series had good weather. Yeah, it was. Pretty nice. Lucky.
Yep.
Take a few of those in the spring.
We will indeed, no doubt about it.
Yeah, we had a lot of kids out there at that camp. I stopped by for a little bit. We were down there for the weekend from the Thursday night game. Brought the dogs walking around. There were a ton of kids there. I mean, they were all over the place.
Yeah, and I took a picture of all the parents that were lined up down the left field line because I thought that was a cool shot.
Yeah.
And I said, at some point, we should think about making that like a standing room only ticket. Mm-hmm. The only issue you're going to run into in today's world is there's no net down there. And somebody whacks a screaming line drive and you can't get out of the way, then you're in the courtroom. So it's the world we're living in. But it was a neat shot of hundreds of parents just lined up all the way down the line. So that was cool.
That was neat. It was good. It's good seeing the kids out there. It's good seeing, I always like, it's funny, you see like what kids are really good at baseball and they're out there and they're just comfortable and it's just a chance to play some baseball. And you see the kids who are taking it too seriously and forget how to play. And you see some of the kids who didn't realize they were going to be overwhelmed. So it's always a little interesting.
just watching it. It is. It is. And, we're appreciative of anybody that spends the money and takes the time to come to camp. I always make sure whoever's starting the camp, whether it's me or someone else, mentions, we asked the question, if you paid for this camp yourself, raise your hand. And of course, no one raises their hand. Every once in a while, somebody does. They get called out, especially, but for the most part, then we just say, hey, look, somebody paid for you to come to this camp. So two things. One, make sure you tell them thank you. And two, make sure you give your best effort today. Just have fun, enjoy it, play hard, and ask questions and get your money's worth out of today. So, those are important things to us, for the kids that come to the camp.
Yeah, because sometimes it's about realizing, like, this is where I have to grow to get to where I want to be. Or sometimes, if you're a little bit older, sometimes it's like, okay, I'm not going to be here. Let me get more realistic about where I'm going to be. Because there's that's a whiz. You just tell me there's a place for everybody. You want to play college baseball, there's a spot for you somewhere.
at some level there is, and it's good that our players work, because the kids, you know, they look at them and go, all right, this is what a, you know, Division I college baseball player mm-hmm. looks like, and he's a lot bigger than me. I better get in the weight room.
Yeah. Yeah. Cam Tellefson's walking around out there, yeah. and he was at the camp 2 years earlier in Jackson Okonkwo. There's a couple of
yeah.
real big freshmen.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like you said, those kids were campers. So mm-hmm. that's the value of having that camp, especially for local guys. You know, we had a couple good young local players in there. So that's always exciting for us.
Yeah, I definitely feel like they get a lot out of it. I know, like, the drills are actually complex, and they will challenge you, and you get to see live pitching and all the things that come with live pitching. So yeah. It seemed like the kids were having fun, but they were also being challenged pretty hard out there.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, on the subject of being around the stadium, huge progress that I noticed just from, like, a two-week span between football home games of just how much has gone up over there at the ballpark. Finney, you got any updates, any thoughts? I know you see it every day, but
yeah, you know, I do see it every day, but I see it mostly from the field side. I took my dog Chief down to the old golf course walking yesterday morning because it's such a nice day, and we drove down 43rd Street, which I never do anymore because I don't park down that way. And driving down the, you know, what will be the front of the stadium, I was going, wow, they have done a lot more than you think. You know, two of the main, metal beams that'll be up, the steel beams, there's, I don't know, eight of them that are going in that front around the roof and the facade. Two of those are up. It's starting to look like a building from the back, from the front side there. And that's cool. They've got almost all the concrete posts in that they'll hook the frame up to connect the state, you know, the corners to the other existing structure. And they're making a lot of progress. They've got our whole building behind the third base dugout under roof. That's under roof, the whole thing now. So they're able to, you know, get started on the inside stuff. So yeah, they're moving along pretty good now. So it's nice to see. And I wake up every day and go one day closer. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One day you'll come to work and you'll just hear the ping of the ball off the bat and not also jackhammers and all kinds of air compressor power
items out there. And no more sandblasting. Thank God. Cause that,
it's something when you're out there. It's aggressive on your ears. It's aggressive on your breathing it in. Yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah. It was terrible. I mean, we were all coughing for about a month.
Yeah.
That sand just was everywhere, man. So,
yeah.
It's nice to be past all of that. So, yeah, they're moving along.
You want ball players with a grit, and you got them one way or the other. You're going to make it happen.
Literally have grit in their lungs.
Yeah.
Well, I was talking to CB right before you hopped on, and like I knew we had a lot of home games early in the season next year, but when you actually have it laid out on the schedule, it's a lot. Like three at home against Quinnipiac, one with Manhattan, three with Niagara. You go over to Norfolk State, but then back for three home games in Charlotte, and that puts you at March 1st. So quite a home slate.
Which is normal for us. I mean, you know, since I've been here, it's what we've tried to do, get the Northeast teams down and play good ones and play at home as much as you can. I mean, it just makes sense to me. And we've had some good success with it. So we're back to being able to do that, you know, and although the stadium won't be done, it'll be, you know, we will be playing in it, and, you know, the university is doing some neat things for our fans to be able to enjoy that, you know, despite the fact that it's not going to be, you know, fully functioning inside the stadium. So we're excited about playing on our home field. I mean, that's, you know, it's been a while, and I think that, you know, sleeping in your own bed, being in your comfort zone, all of those things make a difference.
Can we talk about what that plan is for the fans for the first part of the year? Sure.
So, you know, and we don't know if this is going to change at all during the year. It depends on construction schedules and things. We're going into a plan with the, you know, feeling that it's not going to change. But basically what they're doing is between the left field light pole and the left center light pole, that's about a, I don't know, 150-foot long area. They're building a, you know, elevated Rally Alley experience out there. It's going to be, I think, five rows of seats. There's going to be a standing rail behind that, and then a 20-foot long deck with a standing rail behind that, which will include a bar and grill. They're going to have food trucks out there. There's restroom facilities out there. It's able to hold, I think, 750 people. And then they're building a smaller version of that over next on the other side of the scoreboard for the visiting fans that'll hold about 150. Mm. So they're still going to be able to handle 1,000 people close to it. Maybe it's 850 or more, but it's supposed to be about 1,000 people. And they'll be up above the outfield fence. It's the same company. Gary, you may know, it's the company that does a lot of the, you know, the greens, the bleachers around the greens at the big golf tournaments. I think they're out of Richmond. But they're the ones doing it. And they're building it, although it's, you know, a temporary fix, what we call it now. Our desire is to have that stay and for us to keep it. And I think it can be an unbelievable area, whether you make it a student section, a frat section, whatever. It's just going to be a really cool look at the ballpark. You're a different look than sitting in the stands looking out. You're looking at the stadium. And so, and you know, you can heckle the left fielder and all that stuff. So, there aren't a ton of mid-major, you know, facilities that have outfield seating to that capacity. So we're excited about that. You know, it's unfortunate with the delays that all the amenities that a new stadium will have. We won't have those available, but we're really grateful. You know, Rick French, Bruce Stewart, Dr. Selig, Ashley Schumacher, they've all just stepped up and said, we need to make this the best experience as we can for the guys for this year while we continue to work through this stadium construction. And they're making it happen. They already got the trees down in that area. I mean, when you take trees down, something serious is going on. So I walked out there one day and I go, yeah, they're doing it. So, it's going to be a unique year from a fan standpoint, but you certainly are going to have a good seat. You know, it won't be behind the plate, but it'll be a good seat and it'll be cool out there. They're going to have different food trucks and, you know, sell beverages and food and all of that. So,
I mean, all kids want is to come to a game and catch a home run.
Yeah, we gotta do plenty of that. And the whole area behind the left field fence is all pavers now anyway. Mm. They did that when they built the new chemistry building. So it's a neat area. I think it's going to be like a big party back there. And I think it'll be really cool. I really do.
I think it's a wonderful, happy accident. And like you said, if that's the kind of thing you can make a permanent, and hopefully I don't see any reason why you couldn't make it permanent.
Yeah.
It sounds awesome.
It's funny. We're going to do everything in our power to keep it because I think once everybody sees what a neat experience it is, they're going to want that to stay. That's our goal, certainly, and our intention.
Yeah, it's definitely a good spot. And if you think about, you know, like University of Virginia, they kind of have those standing room only areas down the right field side where people just go and hang out. And obviously things are going pretty well for them and have in the past. It's going to be a unique way to watch the games, but I'm happy to be doing that in Norfolk. When I was reading off the list of those opponents, I was thinking how many thousands of miles are saved on travel. just that alone.
Yeah, our budget's definitely going to save some money. And speaking of Virginia, you know, having a conversation with their new head coach, Chris Pollard, about scheduling. And, you know, in college baseball, the coaches do it, you know, not the administrators for the most part. And we talked and, you know, he committed to coming down here and playing us every year in the new ballpark, Mount Harbor Park.
Wow.
Playing our stadium. He thinks that's a cool idea. And obviously, we do too. that'll be a good chance to sell it out, you know, against the Hoos every year. So we're excited about that.
Well, there you go. So that's why we need to keep the outfield. So the people that make those decisions, that's why we got to really pack the place.
Yeah, I mean, it's another 1,000 people that, that's another 1,000 people you can put in the ballpark. So that's a neat thing.
Because the new seating is upping the
2,000
anyway. Yeah.
And then you figure Rally Alley, I think we estimate is 400 or something total. Yeah. But, and then you have another, 1,000 outfield. So, I mean, you're getting 3,500. And then we have the Lowe's areas that are the standing area. So you're probably going to get close to 4,000 capacity potentially when this is done.
And that ballpark's loud when there's 500 people in there going nuts. You get 4,000 in there.
It'll be way louder too, Gary, because it's going to be so much more enclosed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's really going to loom. What's gotten me is how much higher it is. You know, they finished the elevator shaft and the stairwell. Mm-hmm. So the rest of that press box level, the top level, will be even with that. And it's probably 20 feet at least higher than it was. So.
Yeah, I keep looking at that because I'm thinking about shadows for taking pictures.
Yeah,
so I'm like, oh, I think the shadows are going to happen faster now.
Yeah, they will, but at our place, it's a good thing because where the sun sets, it won't be in the pitcher's, eyes anymore. So that's good.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I know that the expanding the press box was kind of one of those big checkbox items for hosting regionals and things like that. So should have plenty of room. That problem should be solved for quite some time.
Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful press box. It's got a couple of suites in it as well, and just everything you need is in that thing. And the press box for this year, I forget what they're called. It's called like an earth pod or something. It's a double-decker thing. They're going to plop it down on Rally Alley, and that'll be our kind of press box where they have all the guts for the scoreboard and sound system and all of that. Yeah. Radio, the ESPN people, it'll all be in there for us for this year. So it'll, scoreboard's going to be on, the sound system will be on. It'll be a real game in terms of all of that. It's just going to be a stadium under construction, around it. I think one of the cool things for the fans, if you come watch us on February 13th, and you come back on May the 13th, like, you're going to see a ton of cool progress over the course of the thing. And then June 1st is the substantial completion date, so we'll be moving in it. So we'll have our grand opening next, spring of 27 in terms of that. But we're playing in the ballpark, and all things considered, man, that was the most important thing for us this year. And the school spent, after these, probably $250,000 extra to allow us to do that. So I don't think we would all be remiss if we didn't acknowledge that, because they could have said, hey, we ain't got the money. Go back on the road again.
Yeah, right.
And that would have been, that would have been really hard for us. So.
Yeah, that would have been tough. So shout out to everyone that made that possible, because there's like a million variables involved in this. Like, weather is the one everyone thinks of, but there's so much more to it. So to be able to get something that fans can attend, see the team, not have to put the team on the road for an entire season again, that's huge. Huge for the guys, huge for their performance, and Finney, huge for you, because I know you and the staff were done after last season. You were dog tired.
And I think, not for nothing, somebody – might end up going, that's my favorite seat. That's where I want to sit. Like, tickets out there. It's a different, unique experience. Like when you're in the Wrigleyville bleachers, man. Like, it's just a different crowd. Maybe we'll get the people doing the roll call like they do Yankee Stadium. I think that'd be awesome. We'll plant CB out there. He can be gone.
Yeah. I mean, I'll definitely go out and take some pictures from that angle for sure. I'm about it.
Yes, well, we can start hitting people up for that. This is my favorite seat. Maybe add a step up to the plate that you're having in January. It's Friday, January 16th. Go to the ODAF site if you want to register. Man, that's where we need to go.
Yeah, the step up to the plate, man. I'm glad you said that. So, and we have a good announcement for who our Bud Matheny Award winner is this year. Michael Kadire.
Cuddy.
Okay. All right. So
I was lucky enough to play golf with Mike last week. And Doug Ripley and Mike and I and John Belines all played out at Bayville, which the only time I get to play at Bayville is with Mike Dyer. So
that's funny.
Very grateful for that. And we had a beautiful day, man. It's kind of like today. I think it was last Thursday, and just had a blast. And, you know, I asked him if he'd, you know, be gracious enough to accept that award. And he was nice. Overwhelmed. Like, he, you know, growing up here, he's been to a lot of the dinners and the clinics and worked the clinics as a pro player. And he understands and appreciates the history of that award. And so it was kind of cool. And, you know, we're really, really excited about him getting it. He's done a lot for baseball in the area since he's been retired, you know, bringing that back, kind of spearheading that all Tidewater 7-5-7 game with the Peninsula against the South Side. He's really taken that by the horns and grown it, made it a neat event for the high school kids in this area. And, you know, he runs a number of travel teams through his facility there. He's just he's an amazing man. He's a good friend. He's just a fantastic dude. And we're really excited that he's going to be this year's Bud Matheny Award winner.
That's awesome. He really is a good dude. I've never had anything other than a phenomenal interaction anytime I've ever talking about 25, almost 30 years now of seeing him in different places. Always just the best guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And his son is a phenomenal young shortstop. I think he's coming to his senior year at Great Bridge. So if you get a chance to go out to Great Bridge, see a game, you'll see a good one.
Yeah. Casey, he's a fantastic young player. He's going to North Carolina we certainly wish him the best. He's going to keep growing, and you know, he'll be a really good college player, and he'll get a chance to play professionally as well. Feels like
easily. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, still, you can still sign up and register for that event. Again, it's on the ODAF website, olddominionaf.com. It's on their events page Friday, January 16th at 6 in the Priority Club still, correct?
Yep, in the Priority Club. One more year, certainly, and we're going to kind of look and see how our space is in the new facility. So it's possible in 2027 that we may be able to have that somewhere at the field, which would be neat at the new stadium, at the Elmer Family Stadium, but it'll be neat. We may have to do some version of an indoor-outdoor thing, maybe with some tents and heaters and stuff, but I think people would want to come do that and, you know, take a tour of the stadium, and we may do something just a little bit unique that year because of it.
Yeah, it'd be cool to lay eyes on things that need that support and easier to sell when you say, hey, this bank of seats, this suite, whatever, maybe a media room, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Did I hear you say they're putting a double-decker press box in Rally Alley? Is that correct?
Yeah, they're called Earth Pods. I think they bring them in on a truck, and then a crane just drops them straight down. I don't know what – Rick French kind of found them. You can put all the guts of all the electronics we need in there. It'll be on that second level, I think, so you're – looking at the field
down,
obviously not behind home plate, so it'll be a different view. But then, you know, they'll be able to have we're not doing home radio because of that. We're going to allow the visitors to come through radio. We're going to do the ESPN Plus broadcast at home, and then all of our I think today I talked to David Jones, all of our road games, our 21 road games, will all be on the radio, so the people have the option. So yeah, so that's kind of what we're going to do, because we don't have enough space in there to do home and away radio, but because of the, you know, just it's not that big.
Yeah, well, being able to listen to Ted or Andy on the road will be really nice. Just if we're at home, just ignore any assembly line of beer going up into the top deck of the press box, because that may happen to some of those longer games.
Yeah, that's funny. Exactly. Yeah, you'll have to find a. You know, like a wagon committee to get it all the way from out the left through the construction zone. They'll be handing it through the fence out there on 43rd Street, maybe. Hey, that's baseball great. Guys are in ingenuity. Ingenuity does not lack. So,
yeah,
they'll find a way.
We'll get some pneumatic tubing, just put the cans in there and send them up.
Yeah.
Shoots out 107 miles an hour right at the guy.
Yes. Yeah, just explode.
There's so many things that go into it. You said gun, and we were talking about all this stuff, and we're like, all right, have we thought of everything? Of course, you're like, I can't think of anything. And then just Friday, maybe, we were talking about it. I was like, radar gun. We got to get the radar gun for the scoreboard because we've been using the TrackMan, portable TrackMan all fall. We won't have the regular TrackMan back up by then, I don't think. But it's possible. But we'll get the radar gun up because, you know, the fans won't see that up on the scoreboard.
Yeah, they like that. That's my mom's favorite thing at a game.
Yeah.
My mom gets so upset when she's somewhere and there's no radar gun.
Yeah. Well, it'll all happen. And we're excited about being at home. And the guys had a really good fall. I think in the fall, in most cases, you probably know more. Unless you have a bunch of returning starting pitchers, you probably end up learning / knowing more about your offense than your pitching, because everybody kind of trains similarly from a pitching standpoint in the fall. No one's going out there throwing seven innings and you go, oh, he could be a starter. You know, your pitchers and your relievers kind of throw the same because there's just no reason to extend guys in the fall. They're doing a lot of other things. They need the rest. And, you know, so, you know, most guys throw, I think, we had a guy throw this fall was three innings. And they did that a number of times. But so you don't quite know from a role standpoint. I think it usually takes those first few weeks to get all that ironed out as much as you can. And then it keeps changing, of course. But you can see – you know, the hitters' improvement and where they might fit in defensively and things like that. And we had some guys have some really good falls, man, older guys. T.J. Akin, had a fantastic fall. In the second half of his fall, he was a wrecking ball. It was like he on-base machine. He was driving the ball. He was really good. Scotty Young had a fantastic fall from start to finish. Probably our best numbers in the fall. McCadden, you know, he was fantastic, you know. Mac Dye was probably our best hitter this fall. He hit six or seven home runs. You know, he's a guy that can hit in the middle of your lineup. I thought Maverick Stallings, who's a fifth-year senior, had a really good fall. Will Johnson, looks like our shortstop, looks like he's going to be our leadoff hitter, had a really good fall. True freshman, Nick Felton, who's a left-handed hitting center fielder, had a good fall. Looks like the guy's going to be in the mix. You know, Luke Waters had a good fall. We're still waiting to hear on Luke's waiver, so we don't know yet about him. But we had some other guys. You know, Evan Holman had a good fall. We got Zach Leite's healthy. He had a good fall. So a bunch of guys did, and, you know, we just got to kind of, when we get back, put them all in one lineup instead of two. And kind of see what kind of length we get in that lineup. My feeling, we made a pointed effort of making it important to the guys to, you know, getting the ball in play, striking out less, walking more, getting on base. I really feel like we did that as a group as good as we have in a while here. And so I think we can be that type of lineup, you know. And Efren Morales had a good fall. By his standards, probably not great numbers, but he was hurt a little bit with a groin injury. But we know he can hit. And he played a good left field. I mean, he showed us he can play left field. And I'm not so sure by next year he couldn't be our second baseman as well.
But I was going to say he played good second base every time I was out there.
Yeah, he's still, you know, he's got some things to iron out there. But he went out left field and he just out-competes it. You know, like he's just going to he's just going to out-compete the ball and find a way to get the job done. So overall, it was a good fall. It was a fun group. They worked hard. They didn't complain about anything. You know, we kind of talked about the elephant in the room from the get-go. We're going to have to deal with this sandblasting crap and noise. And I don't think, you know, anything peripherally outside of the field of play is going to bother these guys. They've had noise under the sun thrown at them, so maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know you all were doing a lot of work on the field and the weight room and everything this fall, but you are also out recruiting because recruiting never stops. But we have the official list here of the 2026 signing class. These are current high school seniors that are going to be joining in the summer. I know there's a couple hitters in here you wanted to talk to, Fenny.
Yeah, and we have the pitching stuff too. So Coach Marin came.
Hey,
there we go.
Coach, shout out. We'll start with the hitters though, since I'm looking at those. So a junior college hitter, Harlan Rowe, who's a left-handed hitter, and he's an outfielder and a first baseman and a pitcher. He closed for his junior college. He went to Lower Columbia. He had 330 last year and had a 480 on base percentage as a true freshman. Hit fourth for them all year. And he's a really strong kid. That's a pretty good runner. He doesn't look like it, but he is. And he's got a good arm. So he can – he's not tall. He's probably 5'10". I think he's going to, you know, transition more to the outfield here. He wants to try pitching too. So we'll let him go in the fall and see how he is. He's very competitive.
Yeah, keeping the – keeping the Washington pipeline open there.
Yeah, we kept that open. So, yep. Brady Jackson's a right-handed hitting middle infielder, is a really good runner, super competitive kid. He plays actually for one of our alums, Mike Ney, at St. Augustine Prep in New Jersey, one of the top high schools in New Jersey. Played this summer and fall with the Niners Baseball Academy, coached by Rob Maida, who we've had a bunch of his kids, and I'll mention a couple more. Another high school hitter, Jace Watson, the big athletic left-handed hitting outfielder. He's from Newburgh, Indiana, goes to Castle High School. We saw him later in the summer kind of bouncing around down in Atlanta, and he really just kept impressing Paulie and Hage. He's a physical, like, he is what they look like. Just a real physical guy. He can run, he can throw, he can hit with power. He was a high school linebacker who decided to just play baseball this year. Rice Muchika. You get first baseman, his nickname is going to be Mooch. What's better than that?
Mooch.
Left-handed hitting first baseman. He's an absolute beast. I mean, he's built like, speaking of linebackers, he's definitely built like one. Middle of the order hitter, he's from Buffalo, New York. He goes to P27 Academy in Lexington, South Carolina. Had one of the best summers. He was one of those guys this summer that showed up on everybody's list as just being a summer All-American. He just killed it all summer. And, you know, him and Jace were both late-blooming guys. Like, they weren't on anybody's radar, including ours, until this summer. And so we really kind of helped us maybe rethink a little bit of our recruiting strategy and just be a little more patient, because guys like that seem to be popping up now and everybody spent their money, and we've kind of blitzed in there and snuck attack them.
I like it.
Yeah, another infielder, left-handed hitter, Jake Wagner. He's a corner infielder and outfielder. He's another New Jersey kid. He goes to Northern Highlands High School. Also plays for Rob Maida in the baseball club. And then we got a catcher, right-hand hitting catcher from Jackson, New Jersey. Attends Jackson Township High School. He's a big, strong catcher. Really good arm. Also played for the Niners. Also is a pitcher. So we'll give him a chance to do both and kind of see where he's at. So those are the five, I think it's five or six hitters that
six,
we got.
Six, actually.
And then we got four just pitchers. So Charlotte Shaver, right-handed pitcher, North Stanley High School. He plays for Scott Clemens and the South Charlotte Panthers group, which is a really good travel group. Upper 80 fastball. Really good changeup, really good slider, really competitive. He's also a high school quarterback. Connor Radford, a right-hand pitcher, plays for Adam Payne at Eastern Carolina Academy, which is over there in Greenville. And he's a former shortstop. That's an 88-91 guy, real competitive. And then, I'm missing a couple here. Sawyer Conrad, I do know. He's teammates with Mooch at 27, and he
is a right-hander. He's from Wisconsin, actually. And we really liked him this summer. Another late bloomer. We saw him late in the summer and got on him. And Mooch, it's funny because Mooch and him kind of recruited each other. Mm-hmm. And talking one day because they played on different summer teams because, you know, one from Buffalo, one from Wisconsin. And they were talking, said, hey, we're going to go on a visit in a couple weeks. And they're like, where are you going? I said, Old Dominion. He said, I'm going to Old Dominion. They didn't even know. They just got back to school. And so we were able to, you know, get them. And then the other one is Aiden McCauley. Aiden's a Delaware kid, really athletic, loose arm, fast arm. He kind of fits that mold of a John Hollibet type of delivery, you know, guy that's going to continue to throw harder as he puts on weight. So usually we've got a couple more 26 arms we're in pretty good with. We'll find one or two more than likely. We're really working hard on trying to find a couple lefties since those are all righties.
Yeah, I did notice that. I kept writing down right hand, right hand. Because I remember we were talking about this year's group of freshmen. It's like righties, righties. But, you know, yeah. I'm sure, you know, if you go out looking for lefties, it's like you got to look for talent. And then if they happen to be left-handed, that's awesome.
Yeah, we just happen to have that swing where we had all these good lefties in a row, and it's unusual. But we do need to get a couple of lefties, hopefully, in this class, whether it's in the high school class or the portal.
Sawyer and Mooch. Sawyer and Mooch.
I do love that Brady Jackson, Carney O'Donnell, and Jake Wagner, they all played summer ball together there for the Niners. So that's in addition to, like I said, Sawyer and Mooch having guys who have that comfortability with each other. That's pretty nice.
That's a neat thing. And a couple of these Eastern North Carolina kids really know each other too. So they've helped us get each other. So we've got some pockets, you know, and that's how recruiting goes, right?
Yeah.
You know, kid comes, he has a good experience, he goes home and tells his buddies about it. And, you know, I think that's kind of what happened. When I first got here, we couldn't get anybody from North Carolina. Or South Carolina. And now we seem to every year, and they're all doing well. Mm-hmm. That's probably the most important thing.
Yeah, I feel like Lincoln Ransom was like one of the first guys. I remember being like, North Carolina? We never got here from North Carolina.
Yeah, he was. You know, him and Chris Dengler from South Carolina. But yeah. Dengler was a displaced Jersey guy. So
yeah, secret Jersey kid.
Yeah.
Always got them. All right, well, Coach.
Kids, you know, they've all signed. They signed a couple weeks ago, and we're excited about getting them here, you know, on campus next year. So.
Yeah, well, Coach, well, thanks for kind of giving us the insight there and a couple of scoops today. That was greatly appreciated between Kadir and Virginia and the stadium and all kinds of good stuff in this episode.
So I have a question for you guys. Do you guys fry a turkey for Thanksgiving?
I don't fry.
I just eat whatever's given to me. Yeah, I don't. whatever's on the plate. I think last year we had spaghetti. I eat whatever's on the plate, and I say thank you, and I watch some football, and I eat so much I need to nap.
This will be my 20th year of frying a turkey in a row.
Okay.
And it all came. We were in Auburn, Alabama, 05, and it was our last year there. But actually – no, and friends of ours, had gotten us a turkey fryer for Christmas because the year before we had dinner at their house and they fried one. I was like, "This is the greatest thing ever," you know. So we got, and I've had many interesting experiences frying a turkey. You know, usually most of them, you know, you get fire and hot grease and. Whiskey all together, and you mix it all up. we haven't blown anything up yet, but we've had a lot of fun with it, and we inject it with Cajun butter sauce, and it's incredible, man. So this year I'm gonna fry one, and Steph's gonna bake one, so we have a couple smaller turkeys. So we're gonna do that.
Have a duel and see which ones. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I can't cook nearly like she can, but I can fry the heck out of a turkey now. we're going to Sandbridge for Thanksgiving. We're going to take the turkey fryer with us. So
nice. Well, I'm going to contract you out next Thanksgiving to come to my house and fry the turkey so I can get away from the smoker on Thanksgiving
Day. I actually thought about a really good ref share idea. You have a turkey frying day on Rally Alley, and
yeah,
you bring people there, and you have to play music and let everybody fry their turkey the day before Thanksgiving, like on a Wednesday, and just make some money.
I love idea. That's great. That sounds awesome, actually. And plus, fried turkey does taste really good. Oh, like yeah. I want it. I'm just afraid to cook it.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, I'm not trying to burn down my driveway because I know that will happen in my place.
Yeah, you do it on concrete or sand, and you don't have much to worry about. You got the whole key is it has to be completely thawed. Those dummies that end up on YouTube, they try to put a frozen turkey in hot oil. That's like a bomb going on.
I mean, someone's got to provide us with that good content, though, because if I don't have, like, fires from turkey fryers the day after Thanksgiving, I don't feel complete.
Oh, yeah. We don't need that. You know, you think about it, that's a Jeff Foxworthy. Here's your sign.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you put a frozen turkey in some hot oil, you might be dead redneck.
Dead redneck.
Yes.
Perfect.
Well, guys, hey, as always, thank you. We appreciate all y'all do for all our sports and – you know, really proud of Ricky and the season those guys are having. Yeah. One more win here. They'll finish 9-3, which is a fantastic year, and go to a pretty good bowl game. So really proud of them. And I think as a coach, you know, what I've been impressed about is how they got it turned back around after the two tough losses. Because that's doing a hell of a job on his whole staff and the players. Mm-hmm. Of not going, oh, well, our season's over, you know, we're not keep winning the league or whatever. And they just went back out and got back to playing, you know, really solid football like they had been. And, you know, they've just completely dominated every team.
Yeah. That's the going 1-0 that he talks about all the time. And that's the clearest example of it, right? I mean, last week didn't happen. Next week doesn't matter. Today, let's just win. It is great.
Yeah. And they ran the ball right down Georgia Southern's gut all day Saturday.
Fun to watch. I'm looking forward to Saturday.
Yeah.
That defense is nasty. You know, seeing that Thursday night game against Troy, I mean, there were times where offensive linemen weren't out of their stances. There were linebackers in the backfield. Yeah. So it's but you're right. Like, it would have been easy to throw in the towel. Like, I think that's becoming a theme of, I think, a lot of the ODU teams is we may have a bad stretch here and there, but we're not going to stop fighting till the end. I know your team – great example of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And we certainly wish men's and women's basketball the best as they have all both gotten started on their season. So, man, I told somebody the other day, I wish Mike would have called me. He's playing all these road games. I told him not to do it because the road's tough, man. but we wish them the best. I know they had a tough loss yesterday against Drexel up there in Philly. They got a tough task tomorrow in Villanova. Mm-hmm. But you know, hopefully these tough road games will get them ready for the Sun Belt play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Coach, thanks so much for hopping on with us again. Thanks so much. And fans, stay tuned. We got Casey Gibbs and Bryce Jones joining us after the break.
All right, boys. Have fun.
Thanks for having a good Thanksgiving. Go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs. Happy Thanksgiving.
A good afterglow commercial. I like that. That was really well done.
Yeah, that one is well done. They had the watch party there for the Georgia Southern game on Saturday, and I saw pictures, and there was not a seat. You had to stand if you wanted to go there. So that is grown from a happy accident to that is the place you go to watch ODU away games now. We'll continue that through basketball, and I think we'll get some baseball in there too once we get into the season, which would be really awesome.
There we go.
Well, I know you don't want to hear from the two of us, but we have Casey Gibbs and Bryce Jones joining us. We'll bring them onto the show now.
These guys.
How's it going, fellas?
What's up? Good. How y'all doing?
Good.
Doing great. All
right. So you guys both just finished up your college playing careers, right? So Bryce, you had 4 years here at ODU. Casey, you had 2 years of VCU and 2 years at Longwood, right? And so now you're both in your first year as graduate assistants at Old Dominion. How's it going so far?
Go ahead, Casey.
Oh, it's good, man. I'm really enjoying it. I feel like I'm learning a lot. And just being in the field every day is good too, especially after, you know, playing for 4 years. It's good to stay out there.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I love it. Obviously, it's a different role than I've had in the past 4 years, but I think kind of giving back and helping out any way I can, it's been awesome. It's a cool experience to be with the guys and everything.
Is it a little weird, like for you especially, Bryce, because you played with a bunch of these guys?
Right.
Is it a little odd, you know, now you're a coach, but you're still also a student, and you're still probably roommates with some of the guys?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. It's honestly, if you think about it, it's not as bad just because, I mean, it's a lot of new faces, you know? So, yeah. I mean, other than the guys like Luke and, you know, Kellen and Shu, a couple other returners, and it's a lot of new faces, so it's not awkward at all. It's cool. Enjoying it. Having a good time. Yeah.
And Casey, how about you? I mean, you coming in, you know, again, I think you were somebody was giving you a hard time the other day about being old, and you're like, you're older than me to one of the players. So is that a little different for you coming to a new place? Probably knew some of the guys here or there, but coming in and trying to, you know, like, hey, look, I'm trying to, you know, help you guys out and be a coach.
Yeah, I mean, I knew a couple of the guys, but yeah, there are a handful of guys that are a year ahead of me and, you know, got that JUCO year, redshirt year, so they're still playing and I'm coaching. So that dynamic is a little weird for me, but I mean, I saw it last year. One of our assistants was younger than one of our older pitchers, so I kind of see now that was done before, so yeah, it's not too bad.
Yeah, and neither one of you come in with the attitude of like, I know everything and I'm the man, you gotta listen to me. I think you come out the right way, like, look, I'm here, we're gonna do stuff, we're gonna work hard and try to take care of everybody. So I think that's probably the best way to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and you're getting to learn from a lot of experienced coaches. You have a couple guys on staff that have been head coaches before. You have a couple experienced, you know, assistants. Is there anyone, Bryce, that you kind of just went to be like, all right, you're helping me be a baseball player like 3 months ago. Like, how do I make that transition to become a coach?
Honestly, it was more Marin early on. It was kind of like, and he knows I was like super close with all the guys and everything. And he didn't want to restrict me from that, but he kind of told me at the beginning, it's like, hey, like, you're on the other side now, you know, like hanging out off the field, kind of got to minimize that a little bit. But he was like, still be like the player's guy you are and help out. It's just a little bit of a different like title, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. He was probably the one, yeah, to help me with that transition, I'd say.
Yeah. And Casey, I know you weren't on the team last year, but obviously same thing for you, right? A lot of experienced guys to go to. Is it Marin for you or is it someone else on the staff you kind of lean to as a mentor?
Yeah, I think I've spent a lot, most of my time with Hage, just being around the hitters and, you know, having played against Hage so much prior to being here that it's kind of easy to go to him and talk to him about stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Casey, it's got to be cool to be at the place where your dad is a Hall of Famer, right? I mean, you know, it's got to be – I know – we actually, I don't know if Gary, if you pop those up, we did find, I dug through. So here is young Casey Gibbs, probably I think it's August 2019, right before your junior year of high school at an ODU camp. And I think your dad's actually in that dugout in the background there. But so this, I mean, this is a place, you know, you've been here before, your dad.
Oh, yeah.
So what's it like, you know, kind of you're really finally getting here and being at ODU?
Yeah, it's cool, man. I remember he came down a few weeks ago, and I was just walking around with him. We were walking down the hallway in Jim Jarrett Center, and we're looking at the academic All-American wall, and he goes, hey, man, do you know that was my picture up there on the wall? And I looked at it, I was like, man, it took me like 2 months to figure out that was you. And, so now everywhere I go, I'm kind of just looking to see if he's over there somewhere, yeah. Which, you know, I can't really tell him that because he'll be giving himself a pat on the back, but yeah, it's cool. I really enjoy it.
I mean, you sat in the room tonight with all his USA jerseys, so it's like,
yeah. No, I didn't really have a choice. I, you know, I'm home for Thanksgiving, gotta set up somewhere. Old man's office, it was.
Well, that's a great background to have. I'll tell you that.
That's funny. Well, yeah. You know who also was at this camp? A young Chris Jones. same deal. Going to, that was you and your brother were both there. Trent was there too.
Yep, he was there too.
Trent played at Hampton in Sydney. He was a very good ball, but he had a very good camp actually. Yeah. That day. Yeah. He was a sidearm pitcher. So yeah, there's Bryce, the same batting stance. Not much change there.
Jones, yeah, and the socks are a little short, man. A
little bit, a little skin showing.
Yeah, he didn't have the sweet stirrups on, which I absolutely love the stirrups there.
And that's what is and I'm forgetting the name of it right now, but Saint that your dad coaches there currently, right?
Yeah, St. John's, yeah, in DC.
St. John's, yeah. I was thinking St. Christopher. This is where my nephew goes to the high school in Richmond. Yeah, St. John's, yeah, which is where Nick Felton was one of our new freshmen. So your dad coached him. So yeah, it's pretty neat to see it all coming around.
Yeah. It's nice having Nick there. I like having St. John's guys around. Yeah. So.
Well, you got St. John's is pretty good, so we wouldn't mind if you brought a few more of them down with you. That'd be all right by us.
Yeah, I'm trying. Yeah. I'm trying.
Yeah, I think we were like top 25 in the country last year. I mean, yeah, they were pretty legit. Yeah,
they're pretty good.
Yeah, and CB went deep in the memory bank earlier and realized that Jackson Merrill was at that camp with you guys, which is pretty wild.
Yeah, we talk about that to this day.
Yeah.
Do you really? I had no idea. I was looking through my folders and I was like, Merrill Jackson. I was like, wait, what? Mm-hmm.
It's funny because when we were, I guess, my junior year, when we were in the tournament, well, we had that weekend at Georgia State, and then we stayed down there because the tournament was the following week. So we went to Atlanta, they were playing the Padres, the Braves were.
That's wild.
And Merrill came up and finished sitting there, and we're talking about how he was at camp. And I was like, man, I completely forgot about that. And it's just crazy because Finney was saying, like, his camp, like, it wasn't great. And he just, from there, he just took off, I guess.
Took off. Yeah. No, I'm looking at the picture. I'm like, he doesn't look, he looks just the same in the fade, but he's not like, oh my God, look at him.
Right.
I mean, I could tell from the pictures he had a few nice plays, but it's definitely diverged. I mean, it's one of those, because I was like, was he rookie of the year? I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot Skeens existed, but it wasn't for him. Yeah. I mean, there were a lot of guys. I mean, never mind him. I mean, it was like, I think, Marco Lavari was there. Joey Morton was there. Kyle Edwards, your best buddy since grade school.
Oh, yeah.
Luke Waters at the camp. Yeah. Hollibets, yeah.
Was Keller there? I know you came to a couple.
I don't think Schumann was there. I don't think Keller was there.
Oh, Keller, Seth.
Oh, Keller. Yeah, Seth Keller was there. Yeah, you're right. Seth Keller.
Who's playing pro ball now, too, maybe.
I didn't see people's, but you might have been. Maybe I just missed it while I was looking because I was looking for it. But yeah, no. So that was a pretty full 2019 camp. There was a lot of dudes that had some time around. Go for it, Gary. Sorry.
No, you got it. Go for it.
Oh, I was gonna ask. So graduate assistant, what do you guys do in a day to day? Like for us who don't know, I mean, we have several now because the guy, I tried to get Quinn to join us so y'all can make fun of Quinn, the fact that he can't check his messages. I tried to have him join us. So what does a graduate assistant do day to day for the baseball?
So I'll start here, Casey. It's pretty much, obviously you're in the office majority of the day and pretty much whatever comes up that Hage, Marin or Finney or Paulie need help with, like we're right there to do it. For example, like the other day, we're making like outfield shift cards for the Fall World Series. Anything from doing that to if they want to get a couple guys in the cages earlier in the day before practice, like we'll go down there with them if they can't make it. A lot of video and just kind of translate the information from the guys to Hage or from Hage to the guys if we need to. So pretty much that's kind of a gist of it.
And then Casey, you kind of in a similar role there where you're just kind of, at least at this point in your first fall, kind of just helping out and relaying information like that?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, anything that, they don't necessarily have the time to put attention towards, it's kind of our responsibility to make sure it gets done. Like, I think the first thing we did right when I got there was we put a new cage on the turtle, and that took us a good 2 days out there in August. So.
Oh, bad. Yeah.
Hot. It was hot.
Oh, yeah.
Oh man,
it's funny how the bud is like both the coldest and hottest place in Norfolk.
Seriously,
very very interesting phenomenon. Yeah,
yeah. I think I've gotten sunburn. Okay, so I know during the in one season, sunburn and frostbite. That was amazing. Yeah.
Okay, so I know during the Fall World Series, you were loving getting to coach third base because you were telling me you did that all summer up in was it Gaithersburg, right, with the Giants?
Yeah, with the Giants in the California League.
Yeah, and you guys won the championship, isn't that correct?
No, not this year, but my last year playing was the first year that we had the Giants had won the regular season title. It was the first the one seed in the playoffs. But last year, last summer was a weird year. We had a lot of bad weather, and the fields were just getting destroyed on a almost daily basis by rain. So we had 40 games scheduled. I think we only ended up playing like 32. There's some teams played 34. But yeah, it ended up being everybody made playoffs, and you know we got bounced game one. But it's summer ball; can't go back and change it now.
Yeah. I wanted to go up, and because I know JJ Hand was playing for Bethesda, but I think it was a few times I was like, "Well, that weather's not looking too good." It's like Sundays are playing like 11. I was like, "Nah, this is not happening."
Yeah, it's no good sometimes.
Yeah, and there's not really time to make that up in the summer. You've got like 60 days to play however many of your games you're playing, and that's it. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Yeah, there's a lot of doubleheaders.
Yes.
A lot of doubleheaders.
Everybody loves that in the summer heat, being out there for two games.
Yeah, you love a 1 o'clock start on a Sunday and you gotta play nine more after.
Oh,
really good.
Oh, that's brutal. That's funny. Well, Bryce, I don't think I asked you this when we had you on the show before as a player, but I gotta know, like, what baseball team do you root for?
I root for the Yankees. I know it's kind of cliche, but I always just like Judge and Jeter and all those great players, so kind of just when
Judge is one of the nicest human beings I've ever met, so I can't be mad at anybody that likes Aaron Judge. Yeah. And we got our boy Yarby there, so we got to root the Yankees a little bit.
Plus that atmosphere is awesome. I like going to games there. I've been to a few, so
nice,
super cool.
Yeah, Yarborough, another 1 year, $2.5 million deal. Not too bad for Yarby there.
What's wrong with being the lefty?
Nope. Nope.
Casey, what's your team that you root for?
I'm a Yankee fan too.
Okay. Oh, all right.
Well, I get you both at one time then. There we go. Sorry, boys. I do keep that one to the side at least, so that way you listen.
Yeah. So that way we'll never know.
Yes.
And Bryce, you're a huge ODU basketball fan. Your dad and your brother are at most games.
I was 4 or 5. Same thing with baseball, football, but those ones they always stick with me.
Yeah, I can say I know you love them all, but I can really tell like basketball really gets you can see the energy in your eyes when you're at the basketball court. How you feeling about the team so far this year?
I think they'll be all right. They just got to piece it together. I think like this year they got a lot more talent, like individual talent. Mm-hmm. I was like LJ and some of those transfers, the KC and McKenna. Casey Shaw, they're all. Yeah. I think once they figure out and the Rob's obviously Rob having him back is great. Yeah. Once y'all kind of learn to play with each other, I guess. I know it's new, it's early on, and that's how it's going to be for not only this program, but a lot of them, especially guys who slam the portal kind of like we did. But I think once they all start clicking and kind of figure their own roles out, I think got enough talent to do it. So we'll see.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. It looks like every one of the guys they got was like the best player where he was. And it's taken a minute for them to kind of figure out, okay, I don't have to do it all anymore. I mean, you see with Rob some, it's like, oh, I don't have to do it all. I can like figure it out and pass. And it's the last game they had at home was Friday. It looked a lot better. I know that obviously they went to Drexel and didn't take the win, but you could tell like it looks like it's moving in the right direction. Yeah.
For sure. So I think they'll be all right.
We love it. We love it. I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure – I don't know when it is, but I'm sure JMU comes here, and that's going to be an awesome one. That's 17th
of December. So
he knows exactly the date. We love it. Okay. Oh, it's only a few weeks away then. Okay, that's going to be packed. Yeah. Man. That's awesome.
I mean, somebody besides the best ones. Baseball and women's soccer and field hockey needs to be JMU in something. So might as well be men's basketball at this point.
Yeah.
So, need it.
Casey, have you been able to make it over to any games yet, kind of immersing yourself here at ODU?
Yeah, I actually went to the Norfolk State game with Bryce and sat with him and his dad, and that was a really good game. I mean, at the end of the game when they when Norfolk State turned that ball over, I mean that arena absolutely exploded. Like, you know, you see the crowd pop videos on, you know, Instagram or whatever. That was it, and it was awesome.
Yeah, that was one. Like, I'm down there, you know, taking pictures, and I mean, it's like packed. You know, got like a little bit of some people couldn't get seats, and I'm like trading with guys to make sure they have better angles because I'm just there for play and fun. They're actually working. So it was a cool atmosphere. It's packed. I love all the venues on campus, but I really do think the basketball arena when it's full is about the best thing you get at ODU. I mean, Bryce, you've been to them all. You tell me.
The place can get crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
Yeah. I know there's mixed feelings on, but we should play Norfolk State every year for that exact reason, because the crowds look like that the whole time I was in school. Yeah. 05 to 09, like we played someone you care about. It might have been VCU, Mason, JMU, whoever. And yeah, like if you got there late as a student, you didn't get in. Like you weren't.
It's always a good game too. I mean, like they both, they bring their fans, and like they're good too. Like they always go to the tournament, and it's always due for a good game.
Yeah, no, it's fun.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like from what Finney was telling us, we're going to get some outfield seats to start the year that we're going to try to keep, so that way we can have 4,000 baseball fans there, which the Bud can pop too. If you've been there, I know Bryce, you've been there for some of those later season games. Mm-hmm. So just curious, like I know Bryce, you played a lot of different stadiums, but have you experienced that in person somewhere throughout your playing career where like you're on the field when that pop happens?
I'd probably say East Carolina. With those midweek games, they're always – and it's crazy because it's midweek, you know, those – and they're out there and they're bringing out 5,000, 3 to 5,000, I'd say, on average. And it's just – as they got those outfield seats and it gets loud in there. They do their little, like, purple gold chant and it gets loud. Other than that, I would say in conference, I'd say we were at Louisiana the Friday night 2 years ago. That place was – it's big, and they were packed out. So, and them fans are –
yeah, they were good that year too.
They were good. Those fans are reckless. Yeah. Just love baseball. But that was a fun – that was a cool little environment.
Yeah.
Casey, do you have any that you really experienced? Oh, there you go. Same question.
Yeah. I think the first one that comes to mind was at Ole Miss my freshman year. I think it was second weekend to start the year, and I think it was their first weekend at home. So, it was packed. I think they had 10 or 11,000 there on Sunday.
Whew.
And they had a football player who was playing baseball as well.
Oh, yeah.
And he came in late in the game, and I was catching. And, you know, he hits a home run to right center field, and that place just absolutely exploded. I mean, beer showers going in right field. Like, it was like 35 degrees outside. These people are going bananas. It was pretty cool.
Is that where he's at the plate and you just, like, stand up just to see how big you are next to him?
I didn't even want to. He was ginormous.
He was enormous. I remember that kid. Yeah, he was huge.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there was a video like a couple weeks later of him hitting tennis balls at football practice, and they were putting it all over social media. I was like, well, he can swing it. I'd back up a little bit.
Yeah. You're like, guys, this is not safe. Trust me.
Yeah. No, seriously.
Yeah. All right. Well, Casey,
what's your best memory of getting to play college ball? I mean, I think we'll ask Bryce too. But at least we probably saw Bryce's. We saw you play a couple games here or there against ODU with VCU. But between VCU and Longwood, what was the best time you had?
Honestly, it was probably winning the conference tournament my freshman year, and then going to play in the Chapel Hill Regional. I mean, we were a game away from going to a super, and that was like. You don't really realize it when you're in it, how cool that is, because you're just focused on trying to win the games. But looking back on it, that was a really cool experience getting to play at North Carolina against those teams.
Yeah. Now that's something you get to remind the players of all the time, of enjoy this moment, enjoy this game. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
What about you, Bryce?
I would say – I'd have to say that last game with the Bud, multiple reasons. Obviously, won 13 innings and ended up with a walk-off homer, but the game was gritty. There was a lot of back and forth, and I think the cool part was there was so many people there because, one, it was our last home series, and, two, it was the last game of the Bud. So, I mean, it was pretty cool. I remember some of the older staff, people getting emotional just because that place was getting torn down, but that game was cool, and being a part of that was awesome.
That's a great – when Tommy Bell hit that homer, that was awesome. That's one of my favorite pictures. He had the ODU football gloves that made the logo. And then, Brock, I got that awesome picture of him walking off and just looking at it. I mean, there was some cool moments in that game. That's a great one.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Casey, I know you're home for Thanksgiving. Is that the plan there, hang out at the parents' house for the rest of the week?
Yeah, we're we'll go over to my my aunt's house on Thanksgiving Day, but most of the time I'm going to be here and just hanging out with the family.
Gotcha.
I want to point out too, this is Casey's usually like a completely ridiculous, fun-loving guy. He decided to show up and be super serious tonight. So I got to give you our Casey's please, like please. Typical guy that feels like, hey, boo.
I just thought of something. I was talking about the last game at the Bud. It was my junior year. When Meyer hit the walk-off homer,
Yeah, against App State, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That was the last game with the bow, wasn't it? Or am I wrong?
Was it last game?
That
was it. Okay.
That was the one because Dylan Brown almost walked it off the ending.
Right, remember Dylan Brown?
Oh, you're right. Okay. The center? Wow, you're going to correct me on my own podcast? That's wild. No,
hey, that's on me.
You're right. You're right. I think it might have been the day before the Friday game that rocked that.
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay, you're right. My bad. You're right.
But not the game you're talking about, too. That was also cool. That
was good, too. Yeah. No, but you're right. Yeah, Meyer. Steve Meyer. We love that kid.
Well, Bryce, how did you get confused about which home run was which during the time that you were in school when all we did was hit home runs?
Yeah. Right. Jeez.
It's like Tyser hits one on top of the or into the parking deck, I should say. I remember that one because I don't think I turned my head around fast enough to watch that go from Rally Alley.
Yeah, he has some good ones.
Yes.
Some dudes. Yeah.
And Bryce,
we're curious to see how it plays. Curious to see how it plays when we get the stadium all completed, right? And how it
hope it's blowing out.
Yeah, hopefully so. Yeah.
Put like a tunnel underneath the press box behind home plate and we open it when we're hitting and then we close it back when the other team's out. It's like the old air conditioner trick.
Yeah.
Get some more lift out of there. Yeah. Well, Bryce, what do you have for Thanksgiving? Oh, sorry.
No, that's what I was
going to I'm just home at my parents' house, Virginia Beach. Nice. Just got the five of us. Simple. Watch some football, eat some food, hang out. Yeah.
And we, like we said, we know your older brother was a good college ball player, and your younger sister, she's a really good field hockey player, correct?
Yeah, she's actually just committed to University of Delaware to play. So
awesome! That's what I was going to ask. For her. Congrats to Mia. Congrats to Mia Jones.
Tried to get her in the Hudson Blue and Monarch Blue.
Yeah. But... hey, you know what? It's we got what Sean Emsley was at Delaware and ended up at ODU. It can happen.
Yeah,
she can find her way here. It's a long life. We all know, you got Casey there, went to two schools. We know it's a long life. You get to the right place eventually.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Congrats to her. That's awesome. Yeah. You got your family. Yeah, I don't know if you know you're one of my mom's favorites. You got a great family. You're a good kid. Man. Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's always like, is Bryce there? I'm gonna bring Bryce cookies. If he's there.
They always appreciate it. Always appreciate.
Yeah, she was finding him at soccer games this year to give him cookies.
Yep.
All right. Awesome, fellas. Well, greatly appreciate you all taking a few minutes out of your holiday week here to chat some baseball with us. We're looking forward to it. We're less than 3 months out now. I mean, it's February 13th. That's the opener against Quinnipiac at home at Elmer Family Field / the Bud. Pretty pumped for it.
It'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It'll be fun.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you guys are with us, man. We're excited for it. We're going to have a good year.
Definitely.
Yep.
I see it coming.
There you go. All right. We appreciate you guys joining us. Y'all take care. All right. Enjoy your happy Thanksgiving.
Y'all too. Have a good one.
You too.
Go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.